And joining us right here in the studio from Penobscot Theater Company, Jonathan Berry and Jen Shepherd. Good afternoon.
Hi, Rich.
Good to see you, Rich.
Nice to have you both with us here to get ready for a big day tomorrow. It's Giving Day for Penobscot Theater Company. What's that all about?
So it's a one-day online event in which we'll be asking for donations from folks all over the country, maybe all over the world. Our board has board of directors has kindly put up $37,000 in potential matching funds. Ooh. If we can find the those donations in the community and beyond. So it's an opportunity for folks from all over to support Penobscot Theater Company.
Well, that's fantastic. The news, of course, came out a few weeks ago that the theater, like just about every theater in America, is dealing with some financial challenges. Jonathan, why did you make the decision, you and Jen and the board, to let everybody know the state the theater is in?
Because I really think that, I truly believe that a theater is a part of its community, and that this community has, over its 50-year history, PTC's 50-year history, really supported and really come together and surrounded the theater with a lot of, not just support economically, but also support by bringing families in, by sort of spreading out the word of PTC, right? And I think that, I guess it's a belief, right, that by sharing our actual sort of status and the reality of the situation that we're in, we have a deep-seated belief that this community will come together and help us sort of lift this up. It's an incredible rarity to have a professional theater of this caliber in a city of this size. Mm. Like, it's just not something that is, very... very frequently seen. And I think that was George Vafiatis's true vision, and this community has always supported this. And so I think it was based out of a true belief that by sharing this with the community would be able to kind of come forward and support us.
And you've had a good response so far from people, but still a long ways to go.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we've definitely had lots of people giving and giving with their subscriptions. That's another way to support the theater, is to subscribe. Also just lots of people reaching out. Portland Pie Company reached out and offered to hold a fundraiser for us. They're actually running one the rest of the month where there's a peach behind the curtain and the show must go on. One is a drink, one is a pizza. If you order that, a dollar from each goes back to the theater. And we had an offer from Ogunquit Playhouse to announce our shows in their newsletters, which was
nice.
So kind.
That's awesome.
So support has been shown in a number of ways. And there's what we've learned as we put together the booklet for the 50th, the commemorative booklet, is that, the theater has faced lots of crisis points and every time it has been the community. So you don't solve these problems alone. That's for sure. It's not just one or two people that solve the problem. It really takes everybody.
And like a lot of theaters, this didn't begin overnight. It's been coming to a head for a while, but certainly COVID played a huge factor in this because people changed their habits.
Yes.
People did change habits and frankly, one of the reasons why we are seeing this now is because, the government was really, really helpful in the pandemic towards reaching out to some not-for-profit organizations and specifically the performing arts to help them sort of through that time. Jen and, the previous administrations did a remarkable job managing those COVID funds. So we are seeing that impact, or a lot of that impact, now versus 2 years ago, because frankly they were incredibly fiscally prudent through that time. Mm-hmm. And so that impact that a lot of theaters experienced 2 years ago, we are experiencing now, frankly, because of our good financial management.
Our fiduciary oversight is good. Yes.
And you mentioned the 50th season, and it's been a remarkable year so far, both in terms of people showing up and getting some great houses, but also the response of people in the public who have loved the shows that you've seen this season. I was telling both of you how much I absolutely enjoyed Mr. Burns. What a remarkable show that was. You're getting ready for Little Shop of Horrors. The cast just announced for that today, and a brilliant cast coming up for that. So good things coming up, but in some ways, it feels like a turning point, too, as you get ready for the next 50 years. You've already announced the 51st season, but I know in the Bangor Daily News piece, you said that obviously financial concerns have played a role in that as you look for shows that, that cost a little bit less without overall reducing the quality of the product that audiences will get.
Yeah, I think that you have to be smart about those decisions. And I think that one of the big things we looked at was for an organization of our size to produce seven plays a year is a pretty big lift. It meant that our with our Dramatic Academy, we were doing 11 to 12 productions a year. And that's just a huge lift, not just financially, but also taxing on the staff itself. So we thought by eliminating one of our main stage productions, going from 5 to 4, we could really concentrate our efforts and really keep the same kind of level of quality and engagement throughout the season and maybe sort of keep our budget down a little bit as well. And that's true of the play selections as well, right? Like there are, it's going to be a weird year next year. Anytime that there's an election, right? There's, right, you're entering into a media cycle that has a lot of contention and a lot of noise to it. So we really tried to focus the 51st season on what is going to bring us together, what is going to celebrate our commonality, what is going to lift us up. And I think that the six plays of that season really do that in a pretty great way.
You mentioned Little Shop, and that's one reason we chose May 14th is because it's the first day of rehearsal for our summer musical, which is sort of a, was a big moment in this company's history when the summer musical got added. So we also wanted to sort of pay homage to that too.
Now you detailed some of this in the Bangor Daily News article, but for the people who go to the theater, subscribers, or maybe just those who go to a couple of shows a year, the question they ask, I'm sure, is, well, what costs all that money? So can you talk a little bit about the expenses that go into putting together a show? And I know anybody who read that piece saw how much it cost to pull off a remarkable show like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, I mean, that was $220,000. So, you know, it's the people, the artists that we employ, of course, and, you know, with the all the stuff that also happened during COVID in terms of equity and pay, and that has affected us, and we certainly have tried to sort of up our game in that area. Inflation, when you think about the building materials, although honestly, our scenic crew is so amazing, the entire set for Mr. Burns cost just over $1,000.
Wow.
Because they just reduced, reused, and recycled. Mm-hmm. So we can do that for some shows, but for other shows, like, say, Mary Poppins or Little Shop, there are just some things that they have to be built. They have to be there. You know, when you think about the royalties and the rights for a piece, you know, we're paying the writers and the composers. They can be anywhere from as little as $5,000 up to $25,000. And that goes up with the more tickets we sell, which is a good thing for everybody.
Right.
And then, you know, on top of that is one thing that really has been, it's a great gift to the company, is the Bangor Opera House itself. It's wonderful to own that building, but when you think about, like, no one loves to talk about this because it's not like, ooh, this is so exciting, but tuck pointing the building, one small section is like $60,000, and we should be doing it every single year, and we do what we can. So those are just some of the expenses, but I think, honestly, it has to do with inflation, equity and pay, and then just we're still, like, hoping more folks will come back. People are still watching Netflix. Yeah. It's boring. Everything's, you know, not baby reindeer.
And I don't think everybody understands, too, that the Bangor Opera House is not a performance space per se. You are a professional theater organization. Your job is to produce plays.
Yes.
And so it's not. And by the way, you're also rehearsing there when you're not getting ready for shows. So it's not like, well, gee, all those nights you don't have plays, couldn't you be showing movies and having concerts? It doesn't work that way.
No. Right. And I think that that's one of the lenses that we have to look through those is, you know, each one of those events, we are spending some money to sort of bring the thing in, and there's staffing around it. And then there's also that evening then becomes, and all the lead up to that, time that we can't be on the stage, time that we can't be building. And there's a whole lot of, you know, it always sort of affects the process when you have to, like, clear out the house in order to like let an audience in. So I do hear that. And it was, always good to get suggestions. And we've looked at a lot of those opportunities. We just had a really successful movie night and it went incredibly well. We had a great crowd turnout for the Goonies. We were able to offer that free of charge in terms of tickets, but then donations came in and, you know, we sold a lot of popcorn.
We did. Yes. Thanks to our friends at 10 Bucks Theater for loaning us their popcorn machine.
Nice. Well, and I know having done shows there through the years, it's pretty lean, mean operation. Everybody's wearing a lot of different hats.
Yep.
So it's not like there's a lot of fat in the operating budget at Penobscot Theater.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, a lot of departments are one person or one people, as I like to say. You know, the marketing director is just this one guy. I think the only department that has more than one person is our production team, our scenic. And but even then, it's like one person to hang all the lights, you know, one person to draft all the schematics for the set. So as you said, even though 17 can seem like a lot for everything that we do, it's we wear many hats, many, many.
All right. So if people want to help, the best thing to do is to go online.
Go to penobscottheater.org/donate. Also look on our Facebook page and our Instagram account. We will have Giving Day posts. There is another way to give via Venmo or PayPal, depending on what people have. You can also call the box office starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow until probably about 7 p.m. to give a donation on the phone if that is your preferred method.
Do you still take cash?
Oh, yes.
Because we wanted to throw in a little something there. A little something
nice.
From us.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice. Thank you, Rich. Yeah. Thank you.
You're really starting us out in a bang. That's really beautiful.
It's a
Thank
day
you.
Early, but, you know, we kickstarted a little bit.
Yeah, the day starts now. Thank you. That's so kind.
Well, thank you for all the great work you do. It's such an important part of this community and has been for 50 years. And anybody who loves the community, I think, should have a vested interest in making sure that things are healthy going forward for the next 50 years. So we wish you well with Giving Day tomorrow Little Shop of Horrors and DA and everything else that's coming up here over the summertime and leading into the 51st season.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rich.
We love to be here. We love to be a part of this community. Thanks, Rich.
Yeah.
Jonathan Berry, Jen Shepherd, Penobscot Theater Company with us here on Downtown.